Christina from Colony. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRAT.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Catskill Community Center, providing after-school and summer programs in arts, athletics, education, and recreation to the youth of our community. Also providing art classes, community yoga, parenting classes, and Zumba to adults. 344 Main Street in Catskill, and online at catskillcommunitycenter.org.
Though WGXC has been around for almost 3 years, we still hear people asking,
WGXC, what is
it? WGXC, what is it?
Where is it?
Where are they located?
Columbia County.
What do they play?
What kind of music do they play? Is that the one with the guy in the morning?
Where are they located?
What do they play? How do I get information?
That's where you come in. As a member of WGXC's outreach committee, you'll be able to answer these questions. Tell people who we are, where we are, what we do, how we do it. Meetings are scheduled on the first Thursday of every month at either our Hudson or Catskill studio. To learn more, contact Jess at jess@wgxc.org.
Hello, welcome to Roots Runners Rhizomes, Radical Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
How are y'all doing? Are you having a good summer? Lauren, are you having a good summer?
Oh, I'm having a good summer. I'm having a hard July. I'm having a good summer, though, all in all.
I'm having overall a good summer, but I think we both, and maybe a lot of you out there, regardless of if you love summer, are ambivalent about summer, or even downright don't like it, which it is my personal least favorite season, I must say. There's seasonal challenges all of us face every season. So today we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that comes up in the summertime and how you can maybe get more comfortable and navigate your way around stuff.
And if anyone wants to call in and share any of their stories about summer and how they're feeling, things that have supported them and feel helpful that they want to share with everyone else, give us a call, 518-828-0290.
Awesome. So where to begin?
Yes, where to begin?
So well, not every summer's the same, right?
Not every summer,
no matter where you live. This summer, how's this summer been? It's been kind of rainy.
Yeah,
we just got rained upon ourselves coming over to studio.
Hopefully there's some rainbows out there.
Yeah.
For me personally, being an herbalist and working in the outdoors, growing medicinal herbs and wildcrafting medicinal herbs, it's been a great summer in terms of having a really nice, slow and steady spring. Planting time was really great for me. I know there's lots of farmers out there that have tons more experience than I do, but personally things got off to a really good start. And then June was so beautiful. We had these really nice rains that would happen at night. The daytimes were sunny, but like not so oppressively hot. It just felt so good. I was really into it. And the garden.
A lot of people really suffered from last winter too. Mm-hmm. People who don't like cold or snow had to deal with a lot of it, right?
Yeah, that was a long, hard winter.
Unusually long winter last year. So
yeah, and then July came.
Yeah, what up with July?
I think for me personally, it was just like the there's some beautiful music next door.
Wow.
I guess to me, it was just everything has reached its peak. And so everything is in bloom and everything's ready to be harvested. And it just has been feeling a little overwhelming to me. And I've had, just physically and emotionally, work-wise, things have just felt a lot different than the beginning of summer. And so maybe that'll be one of the things that we talk about in terms of how to cool down.
Yeah, because for sure, right? It's not just summer is, you know, heat, humidity. There's flora and fauna out there maybe that we don't encounter quite as much when it's cooler. But it's also a lot of activity, a lot more daylight hours. A lot of events are planned. A lot of people get overwhelmed maybe with stuff they want to do, even that's super positive stress. And then a lot of folks, especially folks who work outdoors, whether they're farmers or construction workers, mm-hmm. or, you know, there's a lot of pressure to do a lot of work this time
right.
of year.
Get it all done.
Get it all done. And, or maybe it's even only possible to do it this time of the year. So, mm-hmm. so there's all kinds of stresses out there. And, you know, kids, if you have kids, they're not in regular school, school's off. So everyone's got a
right.
different schedule. So, you know, there's body, mind, spirit,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of comforts and discomforts.
And how's it been for you so far?
Obviously every person's constitution is really different, right? Too.
Right.
And that can change as well. Like you can have kind of a thing that you generally feel, but you know, stuff can change that too. But in general, I already have a lot of fire, so mm-hmm. I don't really need any more heat usually. So summer is often a time I'm kind of taking advantage of cooling down in a lot of ways. But this summer has been pretty mild.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
And I'm loving the rain. I've been doing a lot of stuff, but I just got back from a 6-day retreat in the mountains on the other side of the river. And that was
wow.
a pretty great thing to be doing in the summertime.
Mm. Was it cooler over there?
Yeah, it was cooler. It was slightly higher elevation, mm. and I think it was just cooler season. So it was, the weather was maybe cooler over here. Studying Tibetan medicine with a lama.
Amazing.
At Mountain Menla House. So yeah. So hey, let's see. We have these notes. Let's talk about the heat of
yes.
summer first, shall we?
Yes. Because are we getting some more heat? We had this like amazing week last week where
right.
Was it last week or the week before where it dropped into the like
was that the polar
50s?
Vortex? Yes.
I don't know. We always have a polar vortex.
We gotta name
and
it
Mercury in retrograde these days.
Syndromes and yeah.
I can't keep track.
Polar vortex syndrome. Do you suffer from polar vortex syndrome? No, I enjoy it, actually.
Not in July.
yeah. So, and it's, I think it's supposed to be cool the next couple of days. But still, if you're spending a lot of time outdoors,
mm-hmm.
you can get, and especially in the sun,
right.
and not if you're not getting enough shade, you can get overheated.
Yes.
And
hot-headed.
Hot-headed. Some of us, like myself, get lethargic or
yes.
lethargic and grumpy from the heat.
Totally.
Some people get cranky. I know I lived in New York for many years and definitely anger and heat waves. People would
uh-huh.
kind of fly off the handle pretty easily when it had been hot out for
right.
a while in the city, right? So keeping yeah. a cool, at least your head, keeping your head cool.
Literally, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's pretty basic too, right? Like
right, dunking your head in the sink.
Yeah. Yeah, we have cold, clean water available to us here. Out of the
so
tide.
Many rivers too
yeah.
and swimming halls if
mm-hmm.
folks can get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been finding lately, at least like in friend circles too, where it's like, you know, you're so hot, you're so overheated, and personally, and then like I said, you know, in community with others, it's like we can almost hold ourselves back sometimes from doing what we need to do, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I know it's so hot, I should just jump in the river, but I should just finish this first, and I should just you know, do this first, or I have to do this first. And last week my good friend Liv Caro just, you know, met me at the river, and it was like all I needed to do was just get in the water and get my head underwater.
Yeah.
And then literally game changer, like everything changed. Everything went from feeling hot and hard and impossible to easy and manageable.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I've had some days where a 5-minute cool shower was like, I don't know, a vacation or something.
Totally.
It's really a total mood shifter. So use it.
Yeah.
Don't be a dummy. Do it for the good of all sentient beings, not just
right,
yourself.
Right. Do it for the good of those living around you.
So what else cools us off in general, right? Some mm-hmm. beverages and food too,
mm-hmm.
like cool drinks, but especially mm-hmm. Watermelon,
oh, so good.
Cucumbers, mm-hmm. mint,
rose,
lavender,
mints, burdock.
If you eat dairy products, dairy's cooling. This is a mm-hmm. good time. Ice cream is like gift of the healing deities, I swear, sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's very cooling.
I've been finding that lately watermelon is the only thing that like makes my body feel so relaxed when eating it. I find for myself personally and my constitution, like I need to eat nourishing things all the time, but in the summertime I have way less of an appetite, and I also have
mm-hmm.
way less of a desire to eat anything.
Me too.
That's not cold watermelon or ice cream.
Right.
But yeah, that's been good.
And yeah, also, you know, if you don't have air conditioning in your where you work or in your home, but it's a really, really hot day, you know, if there's a public place that's air conditioned and you're not feeling well sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my appetite come back after seeing a movie for sure. You know, it'll be one of those hot days where I think I'm not hungry and then I'll go see a movie and suddenly I'm ravenous after seeing a cool.
And the library probably has good AC.
Yes, they do. They do. And, you know, I mean, if you're feeling dizzy or, I mean, past the point of being cranky, there heat exhaustion and heat stroke are real issues. You can have elevated heart rate and all kind of high blood pressure just from being, and dehydration, the sister component of heat exhaustion. So listen to that and intervene as soon as you can. Don't let it go too, you know, I've known plenty of people who work outside and again, they're like, oh, I just, you know, want to finish up an extra hour, but.
Right.
No.
Right. Pacing ourselves.
Yeah.
Taking frequent short breaks, hiding in the shade.
Yeah.
Drinking cool things.
And also, you know, if you're drinking a lot of water, think about electrolytes too, right? And we're not necessarily advocating you go buy fancy special electrolyte drinks, but electrolytes are just minerals that the body needs in solution. So, you know.
And what's the classic, like, dehydration formula where you add a little bit of salt and a little bit of sugar to your water? So folks can do that, too.
Apple juice, coconut water, bananas all have potassium and magnesium and the minerals that we need, too. So you can eat. I mean, that's why fruit is an especially great choice in the summer, too, because it has all that stuff that we need. Seasonal food, the magic of eating seasonally. And maybe, too, you could be sleepy from being overheated, but could you be sleepy from not being able to sleep because of the heat? Does that ever happen? Yes. So what are some strategies for getting good sleep? I like taking a cool shower before I go to bed and changing the sheets. More frequently, like crisp, fresh washed sheets.
Not like sweaty, hot, humid sheets.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of makes it a little easier.
Right. I've been... trying to do this at least once a week is doing like a yoga class or some kind of lighter, not too rigorous exercise and kind of tiring myself out in a physical way versus tiring myself out because I'm just like hot in the sun all day.
Right.
Which has been helpful for me to feel easier about falling asleep.
And yogic breathing really helps cool you off. There are certain breath techniques in pranayama, cooling breaths that you take that really do cool you down. And lowering your blood pressure as you do with a yoga class can help you fall asleep a little easier too.
Yeah.
Heat. Anything else about heat?
I remember one time the only way I could get any sleep on a super hot night in my air conditionless room was by taking a cool shower, but then laying down on my bed and running a fan directly on me with cold wet towels.
Oh yeah.
On top of me. That's like when it's super, super, super hot out and I'm at my wit's end. Take a little dropper full of valerian and bathe myself in wet cold towels.
Yeah, and I live with house rabbits and rabbits are very sensitive to heat. They don't enjoy it. They have fur all over their bodies. They don't sweat and they don't pant like a dog. So they're kind of uncomfortable when they're hot. So one thing we do is we put, we have these slate tiles that we didn't finish laying. So we have a couple we didn't finish laying. So we put those in the freezer and then we put them on the floor for the rabbits and they like lie on top of them. And I'm like, you are smart. I can do the same thing. Yeah. And I use like packs, gel packs you get from the, drugstore, or you could put ice cubes in a Ziploc bag. Cools you off if you just put it in a strategic spot, like your forehead or your neck or something.
Yeah,
that can really cool you off.
Mm.
And remember too, heat as an energetic thing. You know, some of us need more heat and some of us need less. So You know, I hear judgment going around in every season, like, oh, you know, air conditioning's bad for you or heat's good for you. You know,
right?
Well,
right.
You know, just trust. If you're not feeling well, like, don't worry that, you know, Ayurveda says you're a bad person.
Or
like,
Dr. Oz recommended whatever.
Yeah, just, like,
do what you need to do.
Do what you need to do. Humidity here in this ecosystem.
Yeah. Humidity makes my skin freak out.
Me too.
I'm itchy everywhere, and I get this strange rash on my hands in the summertime when it's really, really humid. And I've since having it, I've met other folks, one including my mom, and just some other folks that I've met at the farmer, you know, selling herbs at the farmer's market, get it too, where it's some kind of eczema. Maybe it's due to dehydration, or I'm actually really not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just every time it's really hot and really humid, and I'm out in the sun, on my hands and my upper body, I'll get these like little rashes that are very itchy, and they spread.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that in the summertime too, being a health practitioner, like, unidentifiable rashes and itchy spots are coming, like, come up.
Yeah.
And so
yeah there's like fungal infections, right. and you know, poison ivy, obviously, mosquito bites, flea bites, all kinds of bites, but then there's kind of general inflammation happening for a lot of folks in the heat and
internal
humidity.
And external.
Yeah, and like people, you know, fair-skinned folks like myself, there's actually an autoimmune response that can happen in the skin, where the skin starts to attack itself after the cells are changed by exposure to UV light.
Interesting.
And sometimes, like, the first sunny day I go out without, you know, with short sleeves on or something, I'll get a rash from that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my clients I see also have just sort of non-contagious.
Right.
Unspecified, you know, and if they go to the doctor, they're like, well, I don't really know. Here's steroid some steroids, you know. But there's a lot of things you can use that are non-steroidal.
Rashes and hives.
Yeah.
Those have been coming up a lot. But the like undiagnosed, unidentifiable, random.
Right. Right. What are your favorites? I like plantain, like, especially if you're outside. Leaves of plantain are often out and about. So if you get a mosquito bite, you can like kind of mush one up and slap it right on. So that's like
any kind of hot, itchy, itchy area. Plantain is really cooling, really emollient, but it also is a drawing agent. So if there is any kind of foreign substance, like, you know, mosquitoes, venom, things like that, it'll pull it right out and clear it up really quickly. Poison ivy too. Jewelweed is very succulent and moist and cooling, and that's that grows really profoundly around here. It often likes wetter areas and riverbanks, and it's often found growing near poison ivy because it's like an antidote to poison ivy, so that's a good one.
I like also, I make an infusion of white tea, which is Camellia sinensis, you know, the tea that you drink, just a variety of it, and put that in a spritzer bottle. Like, you can keep it in the fridge too to be cool. Mm. So if you have just kind of, if you're like all red and itchy, it kind of cool that off.
Right.
What other herbs? Calendula is a great one for this time of year, right?
Yeah, it's a great anti-inflammatory. That one's great. You could do that topically or internally. And that is also called pot marigold. People might have that growing in their gardens or flower boxes. It's a pretty easy one to grow. And I like to spray myself with rose water, lavender essential oil. That one, those are nice and cooling, too.
Some people like peppermint, but I find it, some people feel it's cooling. I don't. I find it irritating.
Externally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like cold peppermint iced tea.
Yeah.
Internally. Yeah. That's nice. That is. It's a good reminder to, like, cool ourselves down both internally and externally, like we were saying.
Yeah. Cucumber water is the same. You can drink it, but also apply it topically is nice. Or chilled chamomile in a tea bag or, like, a mesh bag is really good, too.
Right.
For that kind of general itchiness. Do you do much with oatmeal baths or any kind of topical oatmeal? I do that more in the winter just because, but I don't know. Do you ever use it in the summer or not?
I don't. Yeah. I don't personally.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone, but I have, I, I have seen folks with really, really bad poison ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Where, oh, train. We'll just give that a second to roll by. But with really, really, really bad poison ivy, a combination of clay mm-hmm. and oats mm-hmm. applied topically as like a poultice
mm-hmm.
and then taking baths in the oatmeal definitely mm-hmm. helps to just be a palliative effort, be really relieving,
mm-hmm.
Very nourishing to the skin, cooling to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a combination of something that is going to draw the poison ivy out and dry up the affected areas while then also
mm-hmm.
anything that's soothing and relieving.
Yeah. How about grated carrot? I
Ooh.
Use that sometimes too.
Ooh, tell it. Because
often
more.
It's just in the fridge, you know?
Yeah.
It's very
so
cooling.
Nice cold.
And also carrot, especially if you tend towards having dry skin and you don't want to dry out your skin too
right.
much with anything topical, or as they say on the label of the fancy products like at Whole Foods, for mature skin, carrot is recommended for mature skin. And carrot seed oil as well. But I grated carrot, the root.
Oh.
It's nice and cooling in the summer, too, on skin.
I wonder, do you think the same would be for the wild carrot? I mean, they're so tiny. It
yeah,
might be hard to
know.
Grate, but you can find them. I mean, they're just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not a huge juice fan, vegetable
mm-hmm.
juice fan. One of my teachers, Susan Weed, always says there's a reason there's fiber in the vegetable. You know, because some people feel that you don't really assimilate the vegetables and nutrients if you drink just the juice, but
oh,
it sure is tasty, especially
yeah.
in the summer. A nice carrot and beet juice is definitely
mm-hmm.
also cooling.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the grated carrot? So like if you had, would that be like if you had,
especially the face is what
oh, okay.
I tend to use it. Cause like sensitive or delicate skin,
okay.
that's maybe a little, I'll put grated carrot. Like cause sometimes I get bumps on my face.
Sure.
Just from
hot, rashy.
Yeah. That feels kind of nice. And
okay.
I'll just put it maybe with like a washcloth over it, a cool washcloth, and just chill out.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, also if some people who have identify as having autoimmune diseases that are inflammation induced,
mm-hmm.
heat and humidity make inflammation worse. So some of you might also be feeling, you know, just kind of
right.
puffy and inflamed generally, right?
Right.
So what are some really good quick anti-inflammatory strategies, like ginger root and turmeric, right? Throw that
yes.
in your carrot beet juice, make
mm-hmm.
an infusion.
And that would be a good thing to think about both as preventive medicine and acute relief, where, you know, if you have this kind of condition, then you know, at the beginning of the summer, you could just start
mm-hmm.
taking those things every day or incorporating
mm-hmm.
them, especially the turmeric, but like incorporating other
right.
things, other anti-inflammatories like fish oils.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea is a great anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
I think turmeric is the way to go.
Chilled carrot soup, like cook the soup, but then chill it. And if you put turmeric and ginger in it, that's like a really good go-to for
right.
Summer use. Maybe throw a little cardamom and cinnamon in for flavor, right?
Mm-hmm. And some farmers and growers in this area are starting to do ginger and turmeric,
right.
which is really exciting
yeah.
to be able to source that locally. But
so that's grown in a hoop house, a greenhouse part of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have it in this area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep it nice and warm.
Mm-hmm. So what are some flora and fauna that we experience this time of the year, maybe not the rest of the year? The most serious little bug out there is the deer tick, right?
Right.
I pulled like 4 of them off my leg in one day when I was in the mountains last week. It was wild.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even walking in tall grass. There were a lot of chipmunks where I was. And I've been reading too that some biologists speculate we have so many deer ticks now because the coyote are actually moving in the area and scaring off foxes. And foxes, so deer ticks, when they're in the nymph stage, are on small rodents like
right.
chipmunks, moles, voles, mice. And so the foxes will eat those animals, but coyote don't. But coyote will, coyote eat foxes and they chase the foxes away. So, but the So it was interesting to note that I was seeing chipmunks everywhere, and I've never had so many deer ticks.
Wow.
In 1 week, I was kind of like, you guys are cute, but don't give me your ticks.
Right. And I've been seeing a lot of foxes, is it fox or foxes?
I don't Plural. Know. Yeah. Either.
I've been seeing a lot scurrying across 9G close here to Hudson.
Oh,
a
really?
Lot this summer. Yeah, the spring and summer. Hmm. A lot of red fox. So I don't know if they're...
Moving,
yeah, or what?
Anyway, Lyme disease, it sure is a real problem around here for a lot of folks. And whether, you know, so vigilance about checking yourself for ticks is first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. And wearing light-colored clothing is, which I never do, I'm starting to, is really actually super helpful just because you can then see them more easily.
Mm-hmm.
And getting into that habit of checking yourself often, which can be difficult or can be hard. You can sometimes forget, but that really helps. And then at least in the summertime too, getting in water, whether it's the shower or going swimming at the end of the day or after you've been hiking or working outdoors, is really helpful, because the water then, if any tick is starting to land on you and trying to latch on, especially like the shower, like that water rushing off of your body sometimes mm-hmm. helps with negating the tick implantation. So just little tricks like that to remember.
Yeah. Do you use natural insect repellents at all?
I do. I make a bug spray that it's unclear whether or not it's repelling ticks, because I'm just not sure if what's useful against repelling ticks. There's been a lot of actual recipes coming out that I've seen where there's combinations of like garlic and vinegar
mm-hmm.
solutions that you could put in a water bottle mm-hmm. that some folks find helpful. I find catnip and yarrow tincture with essential oils of citronella, geranium, and lemongrass
mm-hmm.
are really helpful.
Some people also like essential oil of thyme. Mm. Some people like essential oil of cedar.
Right. Oh, actually, a good friend of mine, Mary, at Pharmacy Herbs up in Rhode Island, who we had on the show a little while back, she said that she's been spraying, so putting cedar essential oil
mm-hmm.
in a spray bottle and adding water to that, obviously, to give it a medium and to dilute it. She's been spraying that on her animals, her three dogs who run around in the woods all the time. And mm-hmm. she's seen definitely a decrease in the amount of ticks that she finds on them at the end of the day.
That's great.
So that's good to know.
I would also say I've read a lot of conflicting advice about companion animal protection, particularly with cats, not so much dogs. Cats metabolize essential oils very differently than dogs do, evidently, the way their liver functions. So you have to be more careful.
Oh.
And I, my cats have fleas right now, and I've been shopping for commercially made preparations just because I was on vacation and some stuff, and I wanted to get a ready-made. And I was not happy with anything I found, because a lot of them had cedar, and evidently cedar's not good for cats. Just anecdotal. There's not a lot of clinical data out there, but evidently some folks who run cat rescue operations have found that when they were using cedar and pine-based cat litters, that the cats were more likely to get liver cancer.
Oh, wow.
So they started compiling the data. So anyway, dogs, I think... A lot of folks, there's a lot of information out there that seems pretty good, but cats, you want to be a little more careful with, but it is the same. I see a lot of the same cedar. I wouldn't use cedar on my cats, and clove. And then the other weird thing I saw was cinnamon oil in some of these commercially made remedies, but that's photosensitive. So if you're out in the sun, maybe you want to, and same with citrus oils. Remember, citrus essential oils on your skin can actually be irritating when you're exposed to sun.
So what have you then what did you go for or choose for your cat?
A more mechanical approach. A lot of combing, vacuuming the house like crazy
for the fleas.
And diatomaceous earth, which is
does that work?
Yeah, and food grade. You don't want to, I guess they sell it commercially for garden use and stuff, but you want to make sure it's safe to take internally, because the cat will clean its fur. And it is safe to take internally for worms, humans and animals, but you you take some powder and you apply it, you rub it into their skin. And what it is, it's fossilized diatoms, which are single cell organisms from millions of years ago. And I guess on the microscopic level, they're sharp. So they pierce the exoskeletons of the fleas and then they die.
Wow.
Go figure. So you don't want to get it in your eyes or your nose or breathe it in, because on a cellular level, it's sharp. But you can, like, touch it on your skin and it just feels like powder.
Right.
And so it's non-toxic, you know, safe to take internally. So I feel pretty good about that. But it's mostly, and then vacuuming a lot. That's definitely a safe way to go.
Yeah, vacuuming for the fleas. So then what do you do, though, with the vacuum bags? Because then the vacuum bags...
Oh, you put some diatomaceous earth in the vacuum bag.
Great.
Good to ask that.
Great.
And so and sometimes I'll put essential oils in the bag, too.
Right, so that once the fleas get sucked up in there,
yeah,
then they're not just festering.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And also, bathing the animal is good if the animal will permit you to do that, as one of mine will and one definitely won't. But like a little, you know, very mild soap. Make sure you put some mild soap, too, so that kills the fleas.
And then again, we could use, you know, the plantain and clay, so that if you're, you know, human and cohabitating with animals that have fleas in the summertime, which around here is really common.
Yeah. And some people actually are allergic to the bites, the same with mosquitoes. So
I am too.
Yeah. Some people just kind of get a little red bump, but it's not a huge deal. But other people really systemically, as you can get with poison ivy, right? You just sort of itch all over. And for some people, it becomes really overwhelming. So,
well, you know, there's a lot of great nervine or classification of herbs called nervines, things that relax and soothe your nervous system. Because the thing about itching, you know, people will say, like, don't ever itch it when you get bit.
Right,
I know,
now.
Me too. Well, because then
once
you start itching it, then
it's hitting
nerves, and it's then, like, when you're scratching in one place, then that nerve network just gets communicated and turned on. So then it's very possible to feel itchy everywhere, because that's like your nervous system communicating that to your entire body. And then I go crazy.
So let's hear about those nervines.
Oh yeah, so nervines that are great for cooling the head, cooling the nervous system, easing the itchy crazy. Things like skull cap, that's a mint. California poppy, which is a little bit of a stronger sedative nervine, but that can be very, very helpful with anxiety and pain that is caused or often associated with anxiety. What else? We have some passion flower is a great nervine. Lemon balm is a great nervine for the summer, because it grows so well here, and you can grow it in your garden. You can grow it in pots. You can grow it. You can find it in the wild a lot too. And it tastes so delicious. It's quite lemony, less like pepper, you know, obviously not pepperminty flavor, but a little more lemony. It's very uplifting of spirit. So it will cool you from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. There are some rose petals in there too.
Oh,
just because.
Yeah. And rose, this is funny. So I fall in love with rose more and more each season. And so I'll just like eat the fresh petals in the garden, or I'll put some in my water bottle, but I tend to overdo it. I forget that just like two or three petals goes a long way, and I'll put like a ton in there. And rose is very astringent, meaning it's pulling the tissues tighter, which in a lot of ways is great for, you know, our gums and our skin and, you know, even our stomach, where tissues like to be taut. But then when you overdo it on rose, it can all of a sudden, like, your mouth starts to feel
puckery, really
dry and puckery, right? but I love drinking rose. Lavender is a great one. Do you have any good nervines that you love for the summertime?
I like to make a cold, chill an infusion of milky green oat tops, and then put any of those herbs in it. Because it's also, again, if you're not eating a balanced diet, like, if you're maybe, it's harder to maybe get the protein and other sort of mineral-rich foods in the summertime, because they feel heavier. A chilled oat straw infusion is nice as a base for anything else, too.
I just, thankfully to Sarah Montero of Farmhand Flowers, I just was able to tincture about 4 gallons of milky oat tops.
Yay!
The other day, because a lot of farmers around here use oats as a cover crop. And so it's really great for people who are interested in oat medicine, which is one of the best nervous system restorative tonics out there, to make friends with a farmer and be able to harvest the entire plant, because you can dry mm-hmm. it for tea, oat mm-hmm. straw tea, and then when the tops, the flowering tops, are in their milky stage.
So that's before, like, it, the oats that you eat in cereal or something.
Right.
That's when it's before. Ripe. Yeah. Right. So this is picking the oats before that happens, before they're ripe.
So, yeah. And so that's a really great thing, because you can utilize the aerial parts of the plant that are growing out of the ground, without disrupting what the farmers are intending for the plant to do to the soil. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, mm-hmm. it's a great exchange. Lemon verbena, which overwinter here, but that one's a really nice
grow
one.
It. We grow it at home in a pot and
take
it in.
And bring it in the winter.
Yeah, yeah.
And how does it, and then do you do anything special to it, or just, it just hangs out?
It just hangs out.
Nice.
And smells good. Uh-huh. It smells really good. Yeah.
And nettles are, hopefully if folks have, you know, saved some nettles from the spring, nettles are real good to also continue drinking throughout the summer. They help keep our adrenals restored and help put all those good vitamins and minerals back in. Nettles, raspberry leaf, the oat straw, those are all great in magnesium, potassium, calcium, iron. So if you can't always feed yourself hearty meals, those are good teas to take as supplements too.
Yeah, and also especially if you tend to suffer from heat exhaustion, that having a chilled infusion of all that stuff is going to keep your electrolytes in balance too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, a lot of people, there have been some, you may have read some articles in the popular press lately about, you know, we always associate, we've heard of seasonal affective disorder, and most people associate that with the winter
right?
and, like, you know, not getting enough sunlight, and there's a lot of talk about that. But in fact, I think I read about 10% of seasonal affective disorder, if you're interested in using that term as a diagnosis, is actually summer seasonal affective disorder.
Tell me more, really?
Right. I think that's also kind of Western medicine saying, yeah, there's seasons and cycles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So summer for not everyone is, it's interesting too, like, I was thinking about how cultures and societies privilege certain things. Like, you know, if you watch the news on TV, they're like, it's going to be nice out, which means it's probably between 70 and 85 degrees only.
Right.
And sunny,
sunny,
right? That's nice. Everything else, not so nice. Which, you know, you can, that's kind of a very narrow, it's just like body image, right? Like, this is good,
right.
The rest is bad.
Right.
So that right there, you know, maybe summer isn't everyone's favorite season. So some people, you know, might be struggling with that, especially when they're being told they should be enjoying it.
Right.
There's kind of
the pressure be outdoors and take advantage of it.
I mean,
sometimes, like, a rainy day is exactly what
right.
I need to feel like,
right.
Oh, it's nice out.
Right. And then some of the activities, too, that we're encouraged to do in the summer might be hard for some folks. If you're, depending on your level of physical ability, maybe you have also body image stuff that comes up for you. And, you know, in summer, people tend to wear less clothing, more
mm-hmm.
revealing clothing, doing physical activity outside. That can bring up a lot of issues for people too, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming and swimsuits and all that whole business for a lot of folks, right?
That's
that can
tough. Yeah.
Anxiety and depression. And the pressure to be social a lot. Maybe it's harder to find downtime sometimes
mm-hmm.
in the summer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a little bit about some of, you know, the medical industrial complex's ideas about what causes seasonal affective disorder. And they brought up body issues, social pressure, disrupted schedules, which for
yeah.
a lot of folks, especially folks who suffer or struggle with depression or bipolar disease year round, that's like the number one piece of advice a lot of healthcare practitioners have is, you know, try to keep as regular a schedule as possible so that your sleep is kind of, you're getting enough sleep and your circadian rhythm is smooth. But, you know, in the summertime, especially if you have kids, maybe they're off school or you have vacation or, mm-hmm. you know, there's stuff, it can be hard.
Right. Or you're, depending on your work, right? maybe there's a pressure to get so much more done during the summer season because maybe the kind of work you do doesn't allow right. you to really work as much in the winter or the fall. Right. So you got to make all your money now, complete all your projects now, which can be, right, which can right. add a lot of pressure, which is drink your lemon balm tea.
Yeah. Yeah. And finances in general, you know, then if you do decide to take time off, then that can be a source of stress if you want to, you feel like you should spend money to go away or, you know, so, mm-hmm. so, you know, maybe just taking time off, what do they call it? A staycation. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's a good choice, to be in balance. What were some other things? Oh, difficulty exercising. A lot of folks, you know, there's a kind of a idea that we should be more active in the summer, but you know, maybe people who aren't as heat tolerant might actually exercise less because they feel lethargic or overwhelmed right. and that can cause depression or anxiety. So again, in that case, you know, I work out at Planet Fitness. They have air conditioning, so I make sure I get my, you know, and some yoga studios are, you know, have fans mm-hmm. and keep it cool enough. Mm-hmm. So just finding what works for you so that you can move, but comfortably, right. like enjoy it, you know, or go right. dancing or, you know, right. do something where you can move, but you're not.
Hudson needs more dance parties.
Yeah.
I mean, for the better good of the people and potential summer anxiety and depression, dear goodness, who's going to throw some more dance parties?
Yes.
Help us out.
Yes. That's a request. That's
but I also think it's a great opportunity, like, you know, I mean, considering a lot of things that can come up in the summertime, I mean, it's a great opportunity for us to just have more confidence in ourselves and in our intuition to mm-hmm. think about not how we should be or what we should be doing in the summertime, mm-hmm. but like how we actually are.
How we feel.
Right.
In that moment. Be like, and that be present thing.
Right. Yeah, which yeah. is tough. And hopefully we can encourage and support each other to do that, because I feel like, at least for me personally, all July I've been struggling to keep up the pace and keep up the motivation with getting mm-hmm. work done, whether it's weeding the garden or harvesting or creating new potions and all things that I love and care about doing. But the pressure to keep up and work as hard as I can during the growing season, I just hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And anything that I or the plants or anyone was asking of me started to feel really difficult to manage. Mm. And I then realized at one point, because I was then getting really hard on myself, like, well, what's wrong with me? And like, mm-hmm. why can't I just work like a normal human being? I'm like, mm-hmm. why am I so tired? And why am I so grumpy? And then I realized that I just needed to allow myself to be that way and kind of yeah. ride it out. And yeah. that really shifted how I was able to then like communicate with myself and communicate with other people, and isolate myself less, and then realize like, oh, some other folks out there are struggling a little bit. Like, and then I remembered learning about, five phase awareness or five element theory, which is a part of traditional Chinese medicine. And in that tradition, you know, summertime is, it's like the height of fire. It's like the fullest expression of who you are and what you are. And things are, the energy is like upward and bounding and like reaching high to the heavens. And the organ associated with it is the heart, and everything is about fire mm-hmm. and passion. And there's really amazing things about that, because then mm-hmm. you can like see your dreams come true. You can see your projects through. Mm-hmm. You can have a lot of energy, and right, the days are long, you can get so much done, you could really, you know, there's mm-hmm. so much of benefit mm-hmm. and when that is overexpressed or imbalanced, it can feel hard and challenging and overwhelming. So just to kind of take that into consideration, the energy of the season is in right. and of itself intense. Right.
And then also, again, to continue thinking cyclically, right, if we are working a lot in the summer, sometimes when we're feeling a little overwhelmed, even just reminding yourself, well, I'm going to rest more in the fall right. or, you know, sleep a lot, yeah. sleep in the winter, you know, even that just kind of can give you respite in the moment sometimes too, just mm-hmm. to remember that this, it isn't like this forever, that right. everything is impermanent and changes. And sometimes just touching base with that can help a lot too, but definitely, right. Right. you know, making some boundaries for yourself is a helpful thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, part of that overdoing things, you know, a lot of people, that happens sometimes in summer, a lot of people who are not as physically active the rest of the year might start, you know, making the most of the quote-unquote nice weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
so we see a lot more sports injuries and tendonitis and that sort of thing too, right, in the summertime. Also, I think because people are generally more inflamed, so, you know, swelling of any type is going to be worse. So some things for, say, sprains and tendonitis, some good remedies for that. Herbally, arnica topically, right?
Turmeric topically.
Mm-hmm.
Yarrow.
Turmeric internally too, right? Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yarrow grows, mm-hmm. Yarrow, the white Achillea millifolium. It grows everywhere around here.
Yeah.
Folks probably...
had a bouquet with it from the farmer's market.
Totally.
It's beautiful.
And that one's great to do, you know, to steep in some olive oil or oil of your choice. It's a great anti-inflammatory. I know that you have always recommended to me Epsom salt baths, and I'm wondering if that is a good one for injury, strains, inflammation.
Absolutely.
Too.
And it doesn't have to be a hot bath.
Right.
But soaking, and also you don't have to get in a full on bath, like say your ankle or your wrist.
Right.
You can just make like a, get a big old pasta pot and make an infusion of Epsom salts. And
but would
soak
you,
them up.
Would you dissolve the salts in hot water and then let it cool down to the temperature that's
when you feel like hanging out in it.
Great.
And hey, plain old ice cubes
are
awesome for swelling too. I know that in Chinese medicine, there's a lot, some fear about ice and cold. But in the summertime, you're really not going to get injured by cold.
Right.
But
right.
Always be in touch with how it feels. If it's not feeling good, take it off. But it, you know, if you twist your ankle playing volleyball or something on the beach, if you're going to the beach. Do you know anyone who does that? I don't.
I
really,
want
but
to so bad.
I know. I'm like, did I just
you
get
just
that from
beach.
A commercial I saw on the subway in Brooklyn this weekend, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like this idealization of summer. It's interesting.
Right.
Anyway, so if you, you know, if you twist your ankle or something, put something cool on it right away.
And
the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. RICE is the acronym that we're always told. RICE, rest. Ice compression, so you can, you know, put like a elastic bandage or
ace bandage,
and E is for elevation. So put your foot up or your wrist up. Good practice.
Yeah, well, and you know, being outdoors in the summer is really good and can be really fun. Right, like you were saying before, you can do so many different things that you can't do in other seasons, which is really great to take advantage. And I personally, at least in the late spring when the sun was really coming out, it felt so good on my skin. And I have like, my Italian people, my Mediterranean background like allows for me to soak that up and drink that up and other complexions. So, but I have been, that's been feeling really good to me and made me realize like, okay, so right, maybe in the fall and the wintertime I should start exploring and experimenting more with taking vitamin D because I've never done that before. But that might be something that I would consider when there's a lack of sunlight, because the sun itself and the sunlight on my skin has been feeling so good to me.
Yeah, and there's some information coming out now in terms of clinical trials that seem to talk about cyclical. So the medical industrial complex, which for years has been telling us to slather ourselves with sunscreen for years, now is like, oh, whoops, actually there might be a problem with that, and actually vitamin D deficiency is pretty epidemic. So in general, I'm a fair-skinned person and I get a sunburn very easily, so I do use sunscreen, but I never use the chemical sunscreens. I always use the barrier method. So either wear sleeves or I'll walk down the street with an
umbrella.
Sometimes. Or I'll use a mineral sunblock if I use a cream, which is like zinc or titanium.
Do you want to tell folks a little bit more about the nuances and potential risks of using chemical-based sunscreens that we find at, like, drugstores, things like that.
Right. And also at drugstores, you can find the mineral-based sunscreens, too. So that's
okay,
good
great.
News. Yeah,
yeah,
nowadays. But I can't remember. I should have looked this up before the show. I meant to. Octals. It's something like octopus and cinnamon. It's like octal cinnamate dye, blah, blah, blah. You want to look for sunscreens that are, they're labeled nowadays mineral or titanium and zinc. But evidently these, I've never been able to use them because as soon as I put them on my skin feels like I have a chemical burn. I've been sensitive to them my whole life. But evidently this new research is saying that it changes the skin cells in such a, it's carcinogenic,
right.
You know. For some people, it seemed to work because their skin wasn't turning red right away, but over time it's actually being proven to be carcinogenic. So they're still on the market and the research is still being done. So just inform yourself, you know,
right.
Read up about it, read up about chemical sunscreen, you know, Google chemical plus sunscreen plus,
right.
I don't know.
Whereas the mineral based ones, the minerals themselves, like the zinc, for instance,
mm-hmm.
is the thing.
People have been using that
the sun.
For centuries.
Right.
Like, you know, in equatorial places where people don't wear a lot of clothes, sometimes they'll put a mud or a clay on their skin.
Yeah.
And when they're out in the heat of the day, you know, it's time tested way of, you know, and if you're heat tolerant and just wearing long sleeves or a hat, obviously is the simplest thing to do. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so check that out. Read up about it on the internet or, you know, your favorite magazine that you trust. But, yeah, there's some information out there you should be aware of about
right.
sunscreens for sure.
Right, right.
What else?
Well, summertime. We're, I think the one thing for me that I've been feeling lately, too, is like, whoa, we're really, like, in the height of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the time is moving so quickly and the days are actually getting shorter. And I always found that so interesting that like summer solstice is when it is because it's the mark of the days actually getting shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. The things I was reading online about seasonal affective disorder, none of them mentioned that yet. For most people who I know who have a kind of mournfulness
mm-hmm.
when the days are growing shorter and
sure.
that definitely could be a cause for kind of times running out or
right.
just, you know, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. But then you could go outside at twilight and as the night starts to get a little darker, you can see the incredible firefly theater that's been going on. It's been,
there's
really
meteor
amazing.
Showers too. In fact, you know, I spend a lot of my time outside in the summer after the sun is down, actually. And there's some awesome meteor showers. There's beautiful fireflies. It's nice and cool. I like to eat outside when it's dark.
Uh-huh.
It's nice. It's
it is
more
when
people are out.
Out.
Yeah, dusk. Although often there,
hard.
Yeah. Dusk, definitely. There's skaters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, more people are outside at night in the summer, so that's kind of a special treat too, a thing that you can't have year round.
Right. And there's like the best food available right now because everything is pretty much available,
which
is really exciting to see at the farmers market and at farm stands along the side of the road. There's just such an abundance and a variety of fruits and vegetables and literally eating a rainbow. So having all different kinds of fruits and vegetables of all different colors also helps with that daily, not only vitamin and mineral intake, but anti-carcinogenic and anti-inflammatory, really like
mm-hmm.
eating a spectrum of colors.
And again,
helpful.
Too, if you're feeling stressed or depressed, pleasure is a great
right.
antidote. So, you know, all this wealth of local produce, having nice dinners, going outside, maybe staying up late because it's nice out. You know,
uh-huh.
if that's your medicine, that's your medicine, right?
Right.
Dance party.
Hint.
Yeah. Let's see. Nobody called in. Do we have any questions? Do you have any questions for me? Do I have any questions for you?
I do. I have a question. Both personally and as a health practitioner, in thinking about humidity and fungal infections or fungal outbreaks. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what you think about, there are a lot of great herbs out there that help, and other things that help with dealing with fungal rashes, mm-hmm. and things like that externally. And I always wondered what are some of your favorite preparations, mm-hmm. for that, because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, there are a lot of great herbs that you can, like black walnut hulls that you can steep in olive oil, but mm-hmm. then is putting like a salve or an olive oil on top of a fungal infection doesn't really quite make sense to me, because then you're continuing to keep it moist and trapping like that lack of air. So would you do something more of like a spray?
Vinegar. I love apple cider vinegar for the summer. That's something we actually haven't talked about yet. Because, you know, sometimes also if you're sweating more or washing more, that acid alkaline balance of your skin is off, and that can cause you to be really itchy too. And also to be more vulnerable to a fungal infection or anything really. So diluted apple cider vinegar, like what dilution? I don't know, like a tablespoon to a big quart of water
is
about
sense
that's
to me.
Rough. Yeah. So like a quart mason jar, 1 tablespoon of vinegar. That's
to drink that or to spray?
To spray.
Yeah.
And then you can put your herbal infusion in that, or mm-hmm. it can be a tablespoon of vinegar to a quart of herbal infusion, like calendula, roses,
plantain.
I just most oils, I don't use oil-based preparations in the summer, except for coconut oil, which is antifungal naturally. Right. It's not local. I'm hoping, well, with climate change, maybe there will be a local coconut oil source someday in my lifetime. I don't know. But as a massage therapist, I use only coconut oil because it is naturally antimicrobial, antifungal, and kind of protects me and everyone from that stuff. But it feels good on skin, and it doesn't clog your pores either because it has surfactant in it. It's water soluble. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice one. But yeah, I tend not to use an oily preparation on any kind of rash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's like so yucky and hot that you want to keep the preparation on, but then I might put some beeswax, just melt a little beeswax and whip it in so that it stays on.
And that's what good too, when like a dry or fresh plant is good, because you can kind of make a paste out of it, versus have an oil trap.
I often just use the fresh herb, and then I put maybe a piece of cloth, like cheesecloth, over it, and then if you want to put like some tape or something over it to hold it on.
That sounds good.
But
thank
better
you for
yet,
that.
Just chill out and lie there with some chopped up plants on your arm or whatever. It's kind of a nice thing to do.
Yes. Yes. Well, real quick before we go, just want to remind folks that Roots Runners Rhizomes, Radical Health Radio, is the fourth Monday of every month. So in August, that will be Monday, August 25th. From 2 to 3 p.m. And if there's any topics that you would like to hear discussed or want to participate in, or if you have an incredible story of healing and transformation, you can find us on Facebook or email us at rootsrunnersrhizomes@gmail.com.
Or you can stick a note through the mail slot of Hudson Wellness Collective, or you can send it through the mail, which is at 514 Warren Street, Hudson, New York, 12534. Also, if you are a sound healer or you have music or something that you'd want us to play or hear, you know, send us your stuff. We want to hear from you.
Right. And if folks have some incredible ways that they are cooling off and cooling down and keeping themselves physically and emotionally and spiritually supported this summer, find us on Facebook and let us know.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and post on the wall.
Yeah, totally. And then you should have a dance party and invite us.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, hope everyone's taking good care for the rest of the summer. Thanks for tuning in.
Stay cool. Be well.
Hi, this is Corey Sear from the Group Revealer. We're hanging out with WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Rip Van Winkle Tobacco Free Action, helping to create tobacco free places for people to live, learn, work, and play. TobaccoFreeNYS.org.
Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties is offering a free newsletter series called You and Your Forest. This letter series will be sent to your mailbox or inbox and can help you begin the process of learning about good forest stewardship practices